Hello, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And tonight, we're going to review World of Warcraft Miniatures by Upper Deck on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And as I just mentioned, we're going to start off with a review of World of Warcraft Miniatures by Upper Deck, which while they've actually made some collectible card games in the past, including Yu-Gi-Oh! And the World of Warcraft collectible card game, this is their first real miniatures game. So we're going to do a full review of it, and we're going to do the usual style. So if you've seen reviews in the past, we do the whole hater raid, so sweet, throw the cards down, got the score back up here, rant for a while, yell at things. All that kind of stuff is going to be coming up. So first I want to introduce Brian. We brought Brian to the show because he's actually new to miniature wargaming. This is the first game he's ever played, right?
Yes, it is.
But he is a huge World of Warcraft player. So we're trying two things here. One, we want to get someone on the show who knows World of Warcraft. And two, ideally, Upper Deck wants to probably market this game towards World of Warcraft players. Idea of the fact that it's World of Warcraft.
And so, hence that me, Kyle, or Jason have never played.
Yeah, have no idea on how this relates to the real game.
So as someone who's coming from the computer game to the tabletop game, I wanted to see what your opinion was of the game and kind of see if you thought the same things as we do as one more veteran players who've seen a bunch of different games. So we're about to get started here in just a minute. As I mentioned, the game is collectible miniatures game. It's played on a relatively small map, though you can combine maps together. Basically, most of the stats are either on A, like various character cards, or on the little bases here. We keep track of some different stats, like their health and things on their bases. Movement's pretty simple. You move a few hexes each turn. The characters have several different attacks they can do. It's all done. You roll dice for attacks, and you roll some dice for defense. So it's kind of similar to other games that have been out there, like HeroScape and things like that. So it's a warband game, so you're looking at maybe squads about 3 to 5 characters at most, so it's pretty small scale, so it's nothing like epic scale like 40k or even on the size of smaller games like War Machine. So that's what you're kind of looking at. It's a relatively fast playing, but with that, let's just go ahead. That's a quick introduction to what the game's about. Let's dive into it and start doing our review. And what we're going to do first, we're going to do, I guess, I still don't have a cool name for it, like the quick round as we did last time, you know, where some of the really simple, obvious, repeatable topics we do for every game, we're going to go over those really quickly. So we'll go for 4 minutes this time, because there's four of us, and we'll basically go from one topic to the next. We'll start with one topic. Each of us in turn will say, do you like it, yes or no, hence the whole soul sweet, haterade kind of things they got here, and then maybe one or two sentences about why you like it or you don't like it. And then we'll keep going around until we basically run out of time. So, 4 minutes on the clock. Here's what we're going to do. Let's start with the obvious one, figure quality. Do you like the quality of the figures? Yes or no? These are just the figures, not the bases. So, I'll start first. I like the figures. I mean, definitely, they look good. They're pre-painted, so they're pretty nice and pretty good art quality. So, let's go to Brian. Go first.
I like the figures. Coming from the World of Warcraft computer game, I was able to identify characters right off. I knew this guy was a Draenei just off of his mace alone. So, I think they did a good job of incorporating a lot of detail in the figures.
I'd say I like the figures. The fact that they are pre-painted and they look good gives you an idea, even if you've never played World of Warcraft before, it gives you an idea of what these characters look like and makes you interested in possibly playing the game sometime.
Mm-hmm. I was going to go and say that these figures are definitely well painted for being plastic and pre-painted. I wasn't sure until Brian had mentioned how close to the game it was. Apparently it is pretty similar, at least similar enough where you could immediately realize what the character is. And overall, I really enjoyed their aesthetically pleasing and, you know, show that actually some effort was put into making these figures.
Okay. So let's go to our next topic, which is map quality. Now, there's two maps to the game. There's a kind of a cheap, flimsy one that comes in the core starter set, and the deluxe starter set has a fairly nice one that's made out of cardboard, unfolds, and is customizable if you want to. We actually didn't get around to playing on that map yet, but there's stuff you can punch out and customize it. And it's a hex grid, so I'm going to say I like the map. It's definitely decent quality. I like the cardboard, and it looks pretty good. It's nothing too fancy, so The map?
I don't like the map.
Really? Okay.
World of Warcraft is such a detailed game. I'd like to see more effort in incorporating some of the player versus player battlefields, like the Arathi Basin or places like that, where there are topographical advantages of being higher up and lower. And I think that could have been incorporated a little more to bring in places of the game that people would recognize.
I'd have to agree with Brian. I'd say they could have done a better job with the maps as using something like from a HeroScape type setting to where you can build your own build your own hexes with stuff and made the game, you know, a bit more adaptable, especially to players who wants to build their own scenes from the game. It would have been a better option.
That's true.
I'd actually say I like the map. It gives some opportunities to expand it. And I believe that, you know, overall it's, you know, it's made of cardboard, the good map's made of cardboard, not some cheesy, you know, maps that we've actually interacted with. Could use a little more detail, but overall I think it does what it's supposed to do, you know, give us a good base setting to, you know, play the game, and then, you know, and that's, I believe, is what's most important.
Yeah. So let's move on to dice quality. You know, it's kind of an odd topic, but it is often important. So they're always D10s. They're pretty clearly marked. So I'm going to go ahead and say I like them because they're pretty much, standard size D10s. I drop them on the floor with a little critical hit marker, but they're clearly marked as what's a hit and what's a not. So I'm going to say I like the dice. They work.
I'm going to put my personal bias of the D10 aside because I hate the D10. It doesn't roll very well, but it's easy to read, and it works in this game.
Okay.
I just have to say I hate these dice because these dice don't like me, so I'll put a hit rate for the dice.
I don't think that's fair, but I'll...
No, hey, you know what? Gaming's not fair, and dice are not fair to me, so, you know, that's what I have to say about
this. I would say that I don't like these dice, actually.
Thank you.
They're not as clearly marked as... Jason knows. He's thought many times when I've rolled, miss, you know, hits. You thought they were misses, so I think it could have been maybe a black number instead of a gray number, something more distinguishing.
Yeah, and the way the text on them is just kind of sometimes you have to second guess what the number actually is.
Exactly.
Dice, yeah.
All right. So that's our 4 minute round. So it's time to go ahead. We'll have Kyle start first. With picking a topic that we want to talk about, and we'll go through, and each of us will say whether we like it or not, and then it's pretty much a free for all discussion for 2 minutes on, you know, why we say that. So Kyle, why don't you pick a topic first? We got, and we'll go from there.
Let's see. Could I add one more thing to it? Because this is one thing that kind of bugged me a little bit.
All right.
Haterade? Yeah, it actually is. Okay. It's how every model has the same movement. Okay. I do not like that.
Hold on, let's set up. Okay. I can agree with Kyle and say hate array. Brian, every model basically has the same movement distance.
What did you say on that?
Brian?
Yeah, I can hate that. Yeah. Okay. I'm sipping a hate array.
Okay. And Ryan?
Yeah, the same movement, yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Kyle.
I believe it just limits your tactical abilities. I'm sure, you know, the bigger guys would probably move a little bit slower than the smaller guys. And it limits your ability to tactically go around people, actually set up a better, you know, plan of attack. And it just kind of makes it a little less interesting that you can only move two. Okay, one square, two square. And I think that could have been improved upon.
I'm curious, in the actual computer game, do the characters move different speeds or not?
Are they all the classes do. Like, you'll find hunters are a little swifter, rogues are a little swifter, but there are some racial benefits. We have trolls and elves, quick, fast, agile. Tauren are basically bulls. Those are some slow dudes. So I could see how if you could make an elf character or a troll character get three spaces, you know, make the orc and Tauren maybe one space. It opens up such tactical gameplay if you allow, you know, going around characters, as you mentioned.
And I think that's one thing that stumped me during the game was how every seemed like every figure, even though I did like their fighting styles, it's like there wasn't much opportunity to move them like faster or long range of places during the playing the game. So.
Now, I do want to say there are a few action cards we'll talk about later that do increase your movement, but there's not very many of them, and you can only use them very rarely. So, in the vast majority of the time, you still only move two spaces. And I say the same thing, like, I don't like it because if you compare it to other games like Warhammer 40K or War Machine, which are these large army games, you don't get the same kind of movement tactics that you would get in a military situation where you can flank on one side or put pressure on another. I mean, maybe if you play the 7 or 8 characters on the side, you might see that, but the way they have it, the really small characters and the low movement, you don't see a lot of movement tactics to it. There is some in terms of getting line of sight and being next to certain characters to get power-ups, but there's not nearly as much as there really could be. So, that's 2 minutes right there. So, I'll move up to the next one. And why don't I just continue the hate train? And we're going to talk about the U-bases. And these things are, which are the little bases that attach to the figures to keep track of their stats. Major haterade, I'm going to run my mouth for a minute on these. So, Brian, what do you say?
Oh, I'm drinking it. Give me a straw.
Brian.
I can agree. I can so totally agree
with
that.
What do you think?
Number 4 is on the haterade board. Okay, here's what we're talking about. Each of these figures have these detachable U bases that keep track of several stats about them, their health, and also what's called the personal clock, which I'll get to later. They're basically retarded versions of the WizKids click dials, and they don't work. They fall off like crazy, and the thing is, they only come in the starter sets. They don't come in any boosters, so if you want more than 3 per faction, you gotta buy more starter sets. There's no other way to get them. Like I said, about a quarter of them were defective. The figures will not stay on them, and then if you try to pick up the figure, it falls off, and you lose track of what its health was. Okay, I hate them, and they just limit how many figures you can play, and they'll probably require return in play. I mean, you can get around without them by using D10s and D6s to track their various stats, but it's just freaking annoying, and it's a terrible move upper deck. Okay, I'm done ranting.
Okay, that's what you were upset about.
I was really upset about that.
Wow.
Okay, the one thing they could have done to make them better is put one of them in a booster pack. So instead of, so that way you at least got another U-base every booster pack, so you can slowly increase your forces instead of having to buy more starter sets.
Is it possible, though, that they're trying to limit the number of figures they want on the map?
Yeah, and they want to play 3 figures on a map as like tournament standard. But there's no reason to force people to play that.
That's true.
I mean, why not, if someone wants to sit down, put 2 maps together, which you can do, and play 15 characters on a side, or maybe even theoretically, at a cooperative version where you have like a 60 character raid or something ridiculous like that, why can't you do that? Because you can do that in the game, but you can't do that here.
I think that it's a great concept. The execution's just flawed. It's flimsy, it's cheap, but the concept's there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would have been better if they would have actually had these attached to the figures.
Yeah, like the WizKids dials.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why they would choose something like that.
Is there any Velcro in the Upper Deck Studios?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
The only reason they would have not done it, one, save cost, is less plastic per figure, and 2, I don't know if they have them attached, if they start getting into a patent issue with the WizKids dials. Okay. Other games do have things like that, where the figures are attached to the dials like that. So, okay, Brian, why don't you pick something? Let's see if we can turn the hate train around.
All right. I'm going to go with, let's see. If I could read the handwriting.
Jason asked me to write stuff. I'm just like, dude, why are you giving me this paper? You know how I write.
I'm going to go with the fighting system.
Okay.
And I'm going to drink it. It's so sweet. The fighting system's good.
I'd have to say it's sweet.
All right, Kyle?
I will agree that it's amazing.
Oop, that one fell off. And I'm going to agree, too, which that one's going to fall off, too.
Way to go!
I'll jump in a minute. So.
I'm a big fan of this fighting system. I haven't played a lot of miniature games, but I have played some role-playing games. And I've seen some very complex fighting systems. Friday Night Firefights, I'm talking to you. But this combat system is easy to read. It's easy to understand. Even the criticals, which forces you to look at the card again and say, okay, my power is this. It's very easy to understand. Like I said, my bias against the D10 aside, the D10 is perfect for this game. If they had incorporated something like a 12 or a 6, it would eliminate some of the drama. It would make your numbers smaller with a 6 side. It would have made them too big with a 12 side. But I like this system.
And the one thing I like what they did is how it works is basically how strong your attack is how many dice you roll. So you're always trying to roll against a target number of 4 or greater. So it's not like, you know, you have to factor in certain, like, armor values of guys, or, like, you got a cross-reference of the table like you do in, say, 40K or something. So you're always rolling against a single target number. And what I like about that is it generally produces relatively average damage levels. You know, it's not like you see wild, crazy, did 15 damage, the next roll you do 1. It's usually, you know, maybe 1 to 3 points of damage on attack. It's nice and average. And like I said, it's really simple. You roll attack dice, you roll offense dice, basically subtract the difference, and that's how much damage you do.
And one thing I like about the fighting style of this game is you're pretty much forced to fight head-on. I mean, there's some range attacks, But pretty much, you get so frustrated
sometimes.
They're
relatively short-range decks compared to movement.
Yeah, you get so frustrated from a person being so far away from you that you just end up brushing them anyway and just wanting to clobber them to death. So, yeah, fighting style is really good.
Oh, and also, one other neat thing, there are two types of attacks. There's basic magic and melee, or physical damage. And, you know, they essentially, each character has better resistance against either magic or physical. So, you know, you kind of match up, target your magic attacks against guys with weak magic defenses, physical attacks against, you know, weak physical defenses.
And the great thing about the attacks is, I mean, I'm just going to hit this a little bit, is the action cards, but we'll cover that
later. Yeah, we'll cover that later. So, all right, Ryan, you want to pick something?
Sure, I can pick something. Well, let's just get right into the action cards.
Action cards?
Yeah, let's talk about those.
What do you say about action cards?
I'd say about the cards... Oh, wait a minute.
So sweet, Haterade.
So sweet. It's sweet. It's
Kyle, so sweet, Haterade.
So sweet.
And I'm definitely going to join that party. Whoop, another one fell off.
Oh, I might be drinking this alone. I'm going to go with Haterade, and I'll tell you why later.
Okay, so let's go ahead and explain a little bit. What the action cards are, essentially, is in a default tournament scenario, you're looking at basically two action cards per character, and the action cards give you different advantages. They say things like different types of attacks, maybe some healing spells, something that's called instants, which can increase your movement or do another attack. You can call pets in, so you have little animal guys running around beside you. I like it because... Oh, you said hater, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And let me move
Don't
over.
Hate.
I was on the sweeter, so sweet train, they're moving over. Okay, but yeah. So it's like, I like it because you can customize guys, because they're linked. So only a few are linked to very specific characters, and that deals with legendary characters. But, you know, in general, they're linked to a class or a race or something about them, so you can assign different ones to different guys. So it gives your character a little bit of customization to them. So, anyone else want to
add? Yeah, I agree. It gives you customization. My only complaint is I wish you could attach more than just two cards onto the character. But
you could, not during normal tournament rules, but you can play what's called a dual mode, which we didn't do that. But you can each have one character up to 7 action cards.
Okay, well that's nice.
That'd be interesting.
I mean,
okay.
That's one of the good things about this game. But as far as action cards goes, I mean, you just don't have to stick to two action cards per character. You can switch those around the next game if those cards don't work for you. So you can customize your character for what action cards you need against whoever you're playing against. So, and that the strategy goes really well for this game.
And do you want to? I want Brian to say why he doesn't like him.
So. This is kind of reminiscent of StarCraft and a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. I mean, yeah, obviously it's a way different style of gameplay, but it gives you opportunity of, you know, putting different cards up against somebody and, you know, being able to say, hey, you know, this guy can work better against him, or it allows you to tactically give yourself a little bit, you know, distinction against your enemy, and, you know, may your enemy can screw you over also, instead of just having your characters out there.
What?
And I'm going to cheat and bend the rules, because 2 minutes are up, but I'm going to let Brian talk.
My only complaint, it's a great idea, but one of the great things about the online game is schools of magic, and I would like to have seen that incorporated. There are, I believe, 5. There's Shadow, Holy, Fire, Ice, and Arcane. And to see those schools of magic incorporated...
They're on there, but they don't do much.
I know there's fire, and I saw Holy, but to see those cards, to see those schools of magic incorporated in the cards would have been great. I would like to see this guy have resistance to fire, but is more susceptible to shadow. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been easy to do, and it was a missed opportunity on Upper Deck's part.
Okay.
That does affect the game a little bit, because there are like a few characters that can't take Holy spells or something like that, but it's pretty far... few and far between. But yeah, it would have been kind of cool to see that.
It's a great opportunity. I think they dropped the ball.
Okay, so we're up to Kyle now?
Oh, back to me. Let's see. I'll go with random boosters. We know how much we love random boosters.
I'll tell Brian, this is basically, you've never played some of these games before. When you buy a booster, you don't know what's going to be in there. You know you're getting 3 figures, but that's, and in this case, when you buy a booster, they're all to one faction. So you're going to get either 3 Horde, 3 Monster, or 3 Alliance figures, but you don't know what figures are in there.
Okay.
Retail price of that is about $16. So, Kyle, what are you
going
to say?
Where do you think I'm going with this one?
Where it always is. Haterade. And I'm joining Kyle because I hate collectible miniature games.
Yeah, random boosters. Yeah, I hate them too. Just because.
I'm hating. I know little, but what I know, I hate.
It's like, the reality is, I don't know if we need 2 minutes to discuss this.
The one
se.
Is upside down.
I don't care. It's the blue stuff is stuck in the wrong side. But yeah, so I mean, the reality is, like I said, you get 3 figures in a booster, about $16. You also get, obviously, the 3 matching character cards and 6 action cards. But that's all you get. It's very expensive. And I don't know if I really like the pure faction boosters. This is the first game that's done that. Before, you just get, you know, X amount of figures from any faction, so it could be mixed. In some ways, it's good, because, you know, but it's almost disappointing to open up a booster and see it's the wrong faction, and you know you have nothing in there at all you want.
So you don't even know what the faction is before you open?
If you knew what the faction was, that'd be cool, but you don't.
I think I'd appreciate them having boosters if the price was a little bit cheaper.
Yeah. This is a recession, buddy. We can't have $16 in. Yeah, exactly. Surprise, you don't like it.
Exactly. It's, yeah.
And surprise, it's not the faction I want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this is already a universe out there. People know about it, and if they're going for a specific figure that they want, they don't want random boosters. They want to know what's in mm-hmm. there. So yeah, I think that was kind of a bad decision on Upper Deck's part.
I mean, I would have, you know, at the very least, they should have at least let you know which faction it is. I mean, I'm not a fan at all of random boosters by any means, but if you at least are getting a faction that you want, there's a good chance you'll get one of them that you like, or a couple of them that maybe you didn't like as much, but mm-hmm. you'll still enjoy playing with. But if you're getting a faction you don't like at all, you're going to set it on fire and, you know, throw it out the window.
Oh, the other thing that's annoying is the pet cards. You know, the characters have pets, but the pets are independent of their card. So that's why we have the little 40K Tyranids running around out here for the pets.
I was wondering about that. Figure.
That's not a Voidwalker. It's not.
But also, I was curious, like, in the game, are there certain combos of types of characters that work well together? Like, could they have packaged, like, you know, three types of characters together and like, a booster?
Oh, there are. There's okay. nothing like having a Warlock and a Shadow Priest together. I mean, they just complement each other so well.
So, I mean, I don't know, that would have been kind of neat. Maybe have a smaller set, but then have, you know, set, you know what you're getting inside the box. You know, these three figures that are known to work together or something. But, oh well. All right, back to me for the next topic. So, what do we have left here? Let's do... Ooh, do I want to rag on something?
We've done enough ragging.
No, I don't want to do it. I'll do that later. I want to talk about the personal clock and time system. So I love this. And do you want me to explain what it is first? Just before
you can.
So how this game works, it doesn't have follow traditional you go, I go kind of situation where I move one of my figures necessarily, you move another one of yours. There's a thing called a personal clock where the top of the board, there's numbers ranging from 1 to 10. Basically, there's a marker that indicates which tick you're on, per se. So, when the tick that's currently on, according to the game, matches what's on your figure, that figure gets to act. So, every action a figure does costs a certain amount of time. So, they basically, after they perform an action, they have to wait so much time before, you know, they can do it again, do something else again. So, you consider, do you want to do, like, a weak attack, then you get to act quicker, or a strong attack where you got to wait longer? And, like I said, I love this. Brian, what do you say?
I love it.
I love it.
Love it.
Kyle?
Absolutely love it.
Okay, so go ahead and say. I mean, I guess I just like it because it's different. 40K doesn't have this. War Machine doesn't have this. None of the WizKids crap doesn't have this. I mean, I like it.
I'd say for making a new game and trying to think of something original for them to use something that someone hasn't, you know, other companies haven't done before. I'd say for original title, it's really good.
And not only is it a good system, it's extremely accurate. For you World of Warcraft players out there, you know those three-second spells that take so long to charge up and you finally use them, it's going to knock you down a little bit. You're not going to be able to use it again. And this game does the same thing, where if you use a very powerful attack, it's going to take a while before you get it back. But if you use something, you know, light and doesn't do much damage, you get to use it again a lot quicker than your enemy. And I think they did a good job incorporating that.
That was pretty much what I was going with, is the fact that it doesn't allow just strong, massive attacks to rule the whole game. Which, in most games, that's what happens. It's usually the guy with the strongest attack is going to win every time, and you can't do anything about it. But in this game, you can peck at somebody, you know, keep on just shooting little shots at them and wear them down.
Little Dwarf Hunter has a little one shot.
Exactly, but he can do it every time and keep moving around.
Yep.
And so it allows a lot more, I'd say, you know, interest in the game. It makes the game a lot more interesting, for a better lack of a better word.
It's just more depth. There's another thing you have to consider, which is how long do I have to wait till we come back to this?
Exactly.
So anything else?
I would have I didn't get a chance to play a Rube character, but I would have in the online game. Those are the guys that are quick. Boom, 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 little damage, little damage, little damage, little damage, and you're overwhelmed. And I would have liked to have seen how that would have worked in this scenario.
I don't think I have any of those out. I don't think I got any of the boosters, though, so...
Unfortunately, I spilled a slight bit of water on the card.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Okay. I wiped it down. Okay.
All right, well...
I'm sorry,
I'm over here yelling at Kyle. Why don't I have Brian go ahead and...
You gave me water and then I'm spilling like a real child.
Draws in the video... I think I should speak on that. Draws in the video game player. I'm going to say, so sweet.
I guess, well, Ryan, us three really can't comment on this, like, if we never played it, but...
What are we talking about?
We can do that.
I say it's awesome, too. I say it's good.
Even though we don't really know the stuff, it's awesome that they did that.
But we're being drawn in.
I can yell at WizKids about this for a while, too. So
what are we talking about again?
Draws in the video game market.
Yeah, it actually brings a lot of stuff from the video game in. So sweet, Haterade.
I'd say so sweet.
Okay, let's go...
What is wrong with your tokens today?
These tokens are like over a year old.
And before we start doing this, I'd say not only does... I didn't hear
that. That would have been a doorbell.
This board game would draw video game players in, but I think it'll also draw tabletop players to the game as well. Because you find about those universes, like, whoa, maybe there's more to World of Warcraft than I thought.
I have a feeling that probably us three are like the exception to not playing World of Warcraft.
Possibly.
It's arguably the most successful video game in history.
12 million people, join the train.
I mean, that's current players every month. They're
and you know how I am about being part of the popular crowd.
Yes.
I hate being part of the popular crowd.
Now, even though, like I said, I don't play the game, but I like the fact they did this, because certain companies, WizKids, would actually ignore the reality of their situations. Like, with WizKids, the mechs, the characters, the pilot, would not be the ones that pilot in the books or the video games or anything like that. And it's just, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I like the fact there's consistency between the universes.
What I appreciate the most is, because of StarCraft, StarCraft came so close to the game, in the original game, and how much I enjoyed it. I can see, you know, when you get such a popular game like World of Warcraft, you know, getting close to it, what Brian is telling me, because I don't know. you know, that is very highly commendable and greatly appreciated.
Why don't you talk about the names of the characters, too?
The way they've incorporated the World of Warcraft universe, which is an excellent... The backstory line is so detailed. As soon as you play, you're thrusted in and you care about your character and your faction. I mean, the names are so specific to their race. Like,
Ruby Gemsparkle?
Ruby Gemsparkle. It's such a gnome name. It's such a happy-go-lucky...
Or Gorbelly.
Gorbelly is an orc name. I mean, they did such a great job. My man Leroy Jenkins is an icon, and they've even incorporated such a random character of the universe into this game. Upper Deck and Blizzard really held hands to create Leroy what I think is a good Jenkins. They did a great job in making this universe.
I gotta go watch this video now. Apparently.
It's awesome.
Okay, so let's move on here. We still got another 10 minutes until we got to get our final reviews. So we got a few more topics we can toss in. Do you have anything else? Have we covered most of the stuff?
I think. Well, let's see here.
For the most part,
time.
We covered timing.
No, not timing as in how fast the game plays. How long it takes to play a game.
Timing.
Okay.
What kind of timing?
So.
Wait. I want to do something else. Okay. Just the whole. What was it? Just the way that you can. Change the way you play the game. Like, there's different scenarios you can play throughout the whole game. The way to change scenarios, you know, you can expand on the boards and all that stuff. So
sweet.
That is very sweet.
Kyle, all the ways you can expand on the game and stuff.
I would have to say that's so sweet.
I'm going to agree with you guys. What do you say, Brian?
Oh, I hate to be the only person.
That's fine.
Hey. Hater aid.
All right, so... Yeah, go ahead and talk a little about that. There's different scenarios.
Well, I haven't played much of this game to know, but as far as I can tell, compared to some board games out there that we've reviewed, this game you can actually expand on, use different scenarios. Like you were telling me, you can use like different, like seven action cards on one player in one scenario. And it looks like to me also a game that you can make up your own scenarios as well.
Yep.
I haven't read the rule book, so shame on me.
Because in the back, there actually are a bunch of different scenarios you can play with in the back of the rule book. And, I mean, there's no reason you can't toss more stuff in there. I like how, I mean, for me, as coming from a person who plays Dagger here, or used to play Dagger here, a lot of the games we played in that, like the Sacred Shields and stuff, if you play the game that I'm talking about, you can incorporate in this game. So you can play Capture the Flag. You can play these different really cool things. The game is very flexible.
And personally, what I like to do is I like to add HeroScape hexes to the board. That would make everything a lot more interesting to fight in.
They're probably a little bit too big for HeroScape hexes. Just a little bit.
We'll have to check and see.
My big complaint with the way they expanded is there are some classic battles and classic battlefields that an online player would want to see. Mm-hmm. I've spent 2 months of my precious life in Alterac Valley. I was there for 2 months of my life. And to have a game take Alterac Valley and the unique geographical landmarks, mm-hmm. it's easy to do, and I just think they dropped the ball again in making something that every Warcraft player knows and put it on paper and put miniatures in there. Wasted opportunity.
Well, as a person who, plays a little bit of tabletop games, this is a great improvement on most of the games that mm-hmm. we see. Mm-hmm. Most of the basic, map tabletop games are quite limited in their ability. Even Monster Apocalypse is quite limited, and I love that game, but that's limited in what you're able to do.
So, okay, so we're up to Kyle. You got anything left, Kyle, you want to talk about?
I guess I'll go with the timing. How long it takes to...
Good, bad, what do you say?
I'd say it's a little long for what the game actually is.
You
can make it shorter.
So sweet?
Yeah, I think sweet.
I think it's sweet. Sweet.
So, okay, well, let's have Kyle, since Kyle started off the topic first, let's have him and his single dissenting voice go first. Go ahead.
For me, the amount of time it takes to move, fire, get the characters moving the dials mm-hmm. takes really a long time for what it is. I'm used to having more figures with the same amount of time it taking the game.
That's true.
Having one guy that takes that long to kill that one guy off and have another guy take that long makes it quite limiting mm-hmm. for me as going to this 15 person game where it's going to take hours upon hours.
We should say a typical probably three-figure game is probably going to take around 45 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour to complete at most.
Depending on how much victory points. I mean, you could have three figures up against three figures and have just go up to 10 victory points. Yeah. So you can relatively make the game short if you want. That's what about the game is the adaptability of it if you want a quick game.
It can cause some balance issues, though. But okay, go ahead.
I like the way that you actually have to spend time with the character. Mm-hmm. It makes you like him. I want to be upset when, Ruby, Twinkle, Sparkle, or whomever died.
Ruby, Twinkle, Sparkle, 2008 character of the year.
I want that interaction. I think having to, turn the dial and watch him slowly tick down to death and something.
Away.
Yeah.
Just like I hate saying Ruby, Gem, Sparkle.
Didn't he, get resurrected and then I had to pretty much knock him down to one again? You healed him to full. And I had to knock him back down to one again.
Okay, I'm gonna make this quite clear. Okay. I hate Ruby Gem Sparkle.
He's pretty powerful.
He was playing Gorebelly, and I killed him one shot with her. If she hits everything,
Ruby Gem Sparkle
possible, and he fails all his saves, he will die in one turn. It's awesome.
And I killed Ruby Gem Sparkle before you killed any of my guys.
I killed Ruby Gem Sparkle, but it happens. She's not invulnerable. She's just very powerful. She looks like this tiny little girl.
Just a little
you walk up to her and you just die.
Kick with your feet,
That's
okay.
A gnome.
Is it up to me?
Here's the same way during the game, Brian?
Yes, indeed.
Maybe two more topics. Because this one,
I think I'd probably want to be a gnome then.
What I want to talk about is product distribution of how various things are packaged. We already talked about the random boosters, but there's more crap. Let's talk about the maps, map distribution, because we already talked about the random boosters and the U bases. I've ranted about that. The only place you get the maps are in starter sets. Each premium starter set comes with one random map. So there's three maps total. No. So if you want all three maps, you have to keep buying starter sets until you get all three maps.
Oh, nice.
Haterade's so sweet.
Jason, I got a question first. Yes. Are they going to have more maps as the years go on?
They have not officially... I assume yes, but they have not officially announced that at this time.
Okay, since they haven't announced it, I have to go with Haterade.
I'm going to go with Haterade too.
Kyle?
hate.
I mean, yeah, let's be realistic.
Hate.
There's no real reason to make a game more collectible than it has to be. I mean, I don't know why they didn't just sell, like, Monster Apocalypse has a standalone map pack where they have six maps tossed in the thing individually. I don't know why they didn't do that with this. Just, you know, okay, put the standard map with every single starter set, and then buy, you know, sell three more maps in a box that for $10, $15, whatever, and you buy as a standalone product. It would have been better. But I guess it kind of goes along because you're going to be buying multiple starter sets if you want those stupid U-bases anyway. But, I mean, the fact is, it's a random map. So, I mean, it's not a big deal to get two of the same map because you can attach two maps together. It looks like you probably even attach more if it really went crazy. Could. So, I mean, it's not terribly awful, but it's kind of annoying. I would like to have the maps individually. I don't want to keep buying lots of starter sets because I don't want 15 copies of the rule book laying around because that's a waste of paper and it's just stupid. Okay.
In true Warcraft fashion, I think they're making this more complex. I remember playing the game and I wanted to craft some armor, and I had to get a certain pelt from an animal, but it dropped every 20 times that I killed the animal. So it took me 3 months to craft what I wanted to craft. Same thing with this game.
Sounds like it.
I'm going to buy and buy and buy and buy and buy until I get what I want. And if this is what you're shooting for, World of Warcraft, then you've achieved it. Kudos to you. You've f***ed a lot of people off, but you've achieved your goal. So thank you very much.
I don't think I can say anything else besides that, so I'm just going to leave
and
it.
And we've reached all new lows.
Yes, we have.
At least I've ranted worse than that in this show.
No, well, hey, you know, it's
didn't offend
good,
anybody.
It's good to rant some other than WizKids. I like we're ranting on Upper Deck rather than WizKids now.
Well, because we can't rant on WizKids.
Well, I mean, we could still beat a dead horse if we want to.
Maybe we can beat it to life.
WizKids been out of business last year, so.
Ha!
Yeah. No, the greatest thing about this, we pretty much predicted this the day before they went out of business.
There's a pattern here, Upper Deck. Why don't we pay attention?
Seriously, yeah. So, okay, we're at about 36 minutes into the show, so why don't we, you want to go ahead and let's do a final, each give 2 minutes, final review of what we thought about the game.
However long we want, because you don't want us, I mean, you want us to try to talk for 2 minutes.
Yeah, try to talk 2 minutes. So here, let's go ahead, each take a D10.
All right.
Let's roll it, highest number, we'll go in order, from highest to lowest. 2.
7.
7. What'd you get?
My lucky number 4.
Four.
You guys, we got to re-roll off then.
3.
Four. It's a walk-off.
I got to go last, fortunately.
All right.
We're in order.
Okay, so... Well, no, Brian goes... Brian, Ryan, Kyle, and me. Okay.
Yeah, all right,
Brian.
In order. That works.
Give 2 minutes. Say whatever you want. Give your final review of the game. Like it, don't like it. And just...
All right. Coming from... I haven't played World of Warcraft in about a year, but I spent a year and a half playing the game, and I love the universe. I think this game does a great job of incorporating a really fine story, condensing it all into a miniatures version. Yes, they dropped the ball in some areas, incorporating some of the vast, you know, geography of the game and some of the more iconic characters. But taking a very big universe and putting it in a miniature board and saying to the veteran Warcraft player or someone who's used to miniatures, this is a system. This is our game. These are our little dwarves, our Draenei characters, our weapons, our spells. Good game. I don't play the online game, but I could see myself playing this miniature game if there were people out there who wanted to play. Upper Deck, I encourage you to learn lessons from other companies. Be careful of making things more collectible than it really needs to be. But other than a few minor complaints, I think this is a great game. Tune the prices down a little bit. You've got yourself a franchise.
And I'd have to say, for being Upper Deck, this is their first try doing something like this?
First real miniature game. They've done, like, the World of Warcraft collectible card game and Yu-Gi-Oh! Collectible card game. But
Yeah, I'd say for the first try, they definitely have my attention for making games in the future. This game isn't perfect, but it's definitely a game I'd want to play again. It definitely got me interested in WoW. And it's got me almost halfway tempted into playing the video game itself, just to think, huh, well, okay, so this is what this game is. And don't tempt me even more.
I'm tempted to cash that 10-day free trial in for a while.
Yeah, it might be interesting enough to play, so no one will see. But yeah, overall, I'd say this game is a good game, well worth at least to try it out and see what it's like, and I guarantee you 9 out of 10 people are going to like it.
Kyle, well, are you done?
Yeah.
All right.
Overall, this is a good game. It's got some good structure. The random boosters are awful. But I'd say overall, this has been, you know, one of the better games that, you know, we've played over the time of Tabletop Battlefields. And so it's well at least worth trying it out, seeing if you like it and be willing to spend that extra money just to get the figures that you would really actually want, because you pretty much have to if you're going to go through RAM boosters.
All right, well, I guess I'll finish up here with the last one. Since I'm hoping you guys would talk a little bit more, but I'll talk for a while. I think the best thing that could have happened in this game was WizKids going out of business. I mean, that sounds terrible, but the reality is this is a well-done WizKids game made by Upper Deck. It's relatively fast playing. You know, WizKids try to go, you know, less than an hour to play a game. It does that pretty well. It's definitely got more tactical options than anything WizKids made. You know, it's definitely a solid gameplay. My biggest complaints are about our product distribution. Those stupid U-bases, how everything's packaged in the starter sets instead of the boosters aren't, you know, they're too expensive. So a lot of my complaints are more product distribution side than actual gameplay. I think they really got a good start here. They really could add some cool things. Like, I'd love to see some cooperative stuff where you actually can play, you know, like raids against, like, you know, like those huge raids people talk about and things. And I think you could do it with this game. I mean, you could easily incorporate that if
easily.
You wanted to. I mean, just create, you could really just take a super character and create your own stats for him. So they've got a good, solid tournament game. They're going to start actually doing tournament play this month in January was their plan. So you probably go find your local, get local prize supports and things. You go to your local game venues and play there. So, I mean, I say awesome game. I really like it. I don't know if it's basically for me, between this or Monster Apocalypse is going to be my main tournament game for this year. I don't know which it'll be. Depends what I can get
going. I'd still go with Monster Apocalypse, yeah. Personally.
Probably, I think, because Monster Apocalypse does probably have a little more depth to it, mm-hmm. And how you can move your units around and do all sorts of really cool things. And besides, throwing people in the buildings is much cooler than this. No?
Yeah, yeah. But if Monster Apocalypse were out there, it'd definitely be this
yeah.
game.
So I think they got a good, solid game. I like it. And really check it out. If you like quick, fast-playing games with decent tactical options, check it out. So anything else? We got about
yep.
3 or 4 minutes
something.
Left.
I hate you, Ruby Gem Sparkle! I hate you!
Okay. That's... No, I just like to.
No, must protect her.
I just like to thank you guys for inviting me down, representing the 12 million of us out there. I just think this
committed
is
WoW
good,
players.
Yes, this is a good interpretation.
I'll have
of
one thing
universe.
To say about that. Wow.
We've wanted to say it for a
yes,
long
it did.
Time too.
Oh crap! Okay.
But yeah, but I, you know, I recovered.
You're good.
And so, I think that's about it, really.
I think it's about done. Yeah, we finished about 2 minutes early,
but we'll make it up next time.
Yeah, we'll make it up next time.
And so, as always, I am.
We're not ready to sign off just quite
yet.
I want to thank Brian for coming on.
Yeah,
your
thank
insight
you,
in the game was very helpful. And
yes. very
maybe
insightful.
I'll have to try World of Warcraft at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I just have to try it, even if I don't play it for any length of time, just because it's so popular.
It's a 10-day free trial,
yeah.
And once you get in, you're hooked. It will destroy your life, but then you'll get it back and you'll treasure what you have.
If you're married, it might destroy your wife, too. So.
And see, for me, I won't play it because everyone else likes it. It so much.
Fight the power.
No, it's not fighting the power. It's the fact that I'm really cynical towards people.
You just, I don't know. It's a long story.
What's the saying, Brian? For the Horde?
For the Horde. But I hate the Horde.
Okay.
Who did you play as in the game?
I was a human priest, and I made it to level 70 before the expansion pack. So I was a pretty...
Wow.
I could heal like nobody's business.
Very cool. Do you have any videos of your guy or a picture or anything of him?
I have no... You know what? I didn't incorporate that aspect of the game.
That's right. All right, well, I'll finish up the show. Any questions or comments, send them over to jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And, of course, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield. Right?
And I'm on Twitter as well, rmanman4.
And as always, I'm never going to go to Twitter because these two have.
He doesn't want to enjoy the crowd. It's so crowd with him.
It's so much fun. Twitter's so much fun. You know what Twitter is?
No, I don't know what Twitter is.
It's a lot of fun. We'll show it to you later. It's a basically 140-character micro-blogging service where you post what you're doing at any given time. So you post either what you're doing and what kind of crazy thoughts you have. So it's really hilarious to see what people
You're going
to
see me there.
And I'll be left to myself, apparently, not doing it.
With that, let's sign off. So let's just kind of go the intro the way we entered in.
As I'm always, I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
Brian.
And I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podtapefighter.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.